Hello friends, I am Vishnu Sippy, faculty member of Wellinkers. I am now going to discuss with you regarding import-export management, especially the regulatory features or regulatory functions which you have got to perform as far as all your international trade activities are concerned. We will now look at chapter number 1, where I'll try to give you an overview of the regulatory functions, that is the foreign trade regulatory requirements. Now, in India, we have got definite mandatory regulatory requirement framework. And they are on two different levels. One is on a policy level and one is on a commercial system. When we look at the policy level, this is guided by the Ministry of Trade and Industry, Department of Foreign Trade, through DGFT or Director General of Foreign Trade. And it is regulated by Foreign Trade Development and Regulation Act of 1992. When we look at the commercial system, this is guided by the Ministry of Finance, Department of Revenue through the Central Board of Customs and Indirect Taxes, that is the Customs Act. Mainly the Customs Department is directing, but it is regulated by different acts. First, it is Income Tax Act. Next, under FEMA, Foreign Exchange Management Act. Then we have the Customs Act of 1962. Then we have the Goods and Service Tax Act of 2017, read with Integrated Goods and Service Tax Act 2017. And the Customs Tariff Act. These are the respective acts. They are mandatory. Compliance is totally mandatory. You have got to follow for all the activities of import-export. There is a guidance known as prohibited goods. All these regulatory requirements have given you a classification of a prohibited goods. The international trade regulatory requirements have been framed under various acts, rules and regulations by the Government of India. And the definition, first and foremost, we have got to look at the definitions. Definitions under Section 11 of the Customs Act. Now, mind you, the definitions which you read in the normal Webster Dictionary or Oxford Dictionary, for the time being, keep that aside. That is not totally relevant as far as the Customs Act is concerned. Definitions under the Customs Act is totally different than the normal definitions of the Oxford and Webster. And here, what is the meaning of prohibited goods? Any goods, the import and export of which is subject to any prohibitions under the Customs Act or any other law for the time being in force. So there are two situations. Number one, primarily it is the Customs Act. But all other laws which are relevant, which are applicable to other goods, other products in India, they are also applicable to the import and export of goods. And here again, the prohibitions are of two different statures. One, they can either be absolute, that is totally banned, totally no, no, no. If you deal in import-export of those particular products, you will be termed as a smuggler. So they are totally banned. And then we have another set of products which are conditional. That means they are restricted. And it basically means that, yes, import-export can take place, provided you follow the restrictions which have been placed on those respective products, either before the import or export or after the import or export. Conditions are placed on those restricted items. For the purpose of import-export customs clearance, all these prohibited goods are regulated by the Allied Acts. That means, number one, the Customs Act you have got, section number 11. But all the other acts are known as the Allied Acts. The number of acts which are prevalent on the respective goods, products in India for various products. And therefore, you have got to follow all these acts as far as your import-export clearance procedure is concerned. Let us look at the Allied Acts. There are a number of Allied Acts that you have got to understand, you have got to follow the procedures. The first one over here is the Custom Tariff Act of 1975. And this deals with the respective duties and tariffs, customs duties and tariffs, applicable rate of duty. Next, you have got the Central Goods and Service Tax Act of 2017. This is the GST tax, Integrated Goods Tax. Next, we have got the Integrated Goods and Service Tax Act of 2017. This is the Goods and Service Tax Act specifically applicable to imports and exports. The CGST is giving you the details of the procedure, but applicability comes from the Integrated Goods and Service Tax Act. Next, we have the Foreign Trade Development and Regulation Act. This gives you the foreign trade policy or the exempt policy. Next, we have got the Foreign Exchange Management Act of 2000. This deals with the currency, foreign currency inflow and outflow, controlled by Reserve Bank of India. Next, we have got the Tariff Commission Act of 1951. This gives you a tariff value applicable to import or export of the goods. Excuse me. Normally, as far as your import and export transactions are concerned, the applicable rate of duty is applied on the transaction value, that is the value declared on the invoice by the importer or exporter. But on certain goods, the value for duty purpose is taken to be the tariff value, which is declared by the Tariff Commissioner of India, looking at the prevalent value in the market, local market conditions, which are prevalent in India. Next, we have the Tariff Commission Act of next, we have the Indian Explosives Act of 1884. we have the Livestock Importation Act of 1898. Yes, these are all old acts which have been amended from time to time. We have the Ancient Monuments Preservation Act of 1904, Destructive Insects and Pests Act 1914, the Indian Lighthouse Act of 1927. This is applicable to all the ships because the lighthouses are guides for the ships. And therefore, this act is applicable to all the ships, especially the foreign going ships. Then we have the Dangerous Drugs Act. We have the Aircraft Act. We have the Indian Petroleum Act. We have the Drugs and Cosmetics Act. We have the Prevention of Food Adulteration Act of 1954. We have the Medical and Toilet Preparations Act. We have the Copyright Act. We have the Essential Commodities Act. Yes, I'm going to explain to you the applicability of most of these acts subsequently coming forward. Then we have the Arms Act. We have got the Atomic Energy Act. We have an Insecticide Act, the Patents Act, the Wildlife Protection Act, the Antiques and Art Treasures Act, Breast Milk Substitutes Advertising and Labeling Act, Narcotics and Psychotropic Substance Act. Narcotics, you know, has become so very famous. It's a dangerous drug, but still people are consuming. So we have got a totally separate act for narcotics. The Drugs and Magic Remedies Act. We have the Environment Protection Act. We have the Motor Vehicle Act. Yes, based on that, you get your driving license. We have the Prevention of Corruption Act of 1988. We have the Geographical Indication of Goods Registration and Protection Act of 1999. We have the Trademarks Act of 1999. Previously, this was the Trade and Merchandise Acts. Trade and Merchandise Marks Act, which was replaced, and at present, it is the Trademarks Act. Then we have the Designs Act. And more recent acts coming to them are the Information and Technology Act, the Food Safety and Standards Act, the Legal Metrology Act, and more recent is BIS, the Bureau of Indian Standards Act. These are all the acts which we are required to follow if you want to perform any functions for imports and exports. Now, most of these acts are applicable in India for respective goods, trading, manufacturing, etc., etc. And therefore, they are also applicable to import and export of goods. Let us look at the applicability of some of these acts which are more prevalent and required on a larger scale. The first one which I will discuss is the Environment Protection Act. This has now got a very widespread usage throughout the world. This act relates to the protection and improvement of the human environment and the prevention of hazards to human beings. This is the most important factor. And also the other living creatures, plants, and property. It is applicable to all aspects of the environment. protection of the environment. What are the considerations which are applicable? The considerations for prohibiting the import and exports or handling of hazardous substances. Yes, this is applicable to hazardous goods, hazardous substances, whether they are for import, export, or even movement, handling it in any form. The consideration being that ready availability of substitute substances. If substitute substances are available, we should not deal in those hazardous goods. Indigenous technology available of the substitute, whether we have indigenous technology as a substitute for those respective hazardous goods. And, you know, most of these hazardous goods are all wastes. They are imported, exported in the form of hazardous waste, which is affecting the environment to the other atmosphere everywhere. And the biggest hazard as of today, which you must have been reading, is the plastic hazards. Now, next, we also look at the gestation period for introduction of a new substitute. You know, I'll give you a different type of example over here. How plastic came into existence, not only existence, but it got such a big boost. Previously, everywhere we were using paper for packaging. All forms of packaging, paper was being used. And paper is produced from wood pulp. That basically means that the forests are being cut and that wood is being used for preparing paper, and paper is being largely used for packaging material, all types of packaging material. Now, this meant that all the forests were being degraded, and degradation of the forest was leading to climate hazards like no rainfall or less rainfall, etc. Proper composition of carbon dioxide and carbon dioxide and oxygen conversion, because the leaves of the forest, they take in the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and prepare oxygen. So this became a very big hazard at that time, quite a long time back I'm talking about. And then came plastic. Plastic was supposed to be a wonder which replaced all forms of paper. Everywhere, all packaging products, it was found to be the best substitute for paper. So at that time, the danger was to the forest, and therefore, substitute which was found, which was supposed to be very good at that time, was plastic, and therefore, plastic came to be used on a very large scale. But as of today, that plastic itself has become a very serious hazard. And therefore, we are now looking at the substitutes for plastic hazardous material. And again, certain level, we are going back to paper, we are going back to jute, etc., etc. So this is the change of technological requirement due to various situations at different times. What are the regulatory requirements for handling of hazardous substances? There are different types of hazardous substances and different requirements for those hazardous substances. First is the hazardous waste. And the requirement is as per the hazardous waste management, handling and transboundary rules. Transboundary means boundary from one state to another and boundary from one country to another country, both. And as per these rules, the importers are required to be registered with the State Pollution Control Board on behalf of the actual user. Now, importer may be the actual user trying to convert the hazardous waste into usable material. But many cases, the importers are not. They are merely importers. Actual users are some other factories. So on their behalf, the importers have got to be registered with the State Pollution Control Board. And here the requirement is that import consignments are required to be accompanied by a pre-shipment inspection certificate issued by an inspection and certificate agency approved by the DGFT. They have got to be accredited by the DGFT, and only such agencies can issue the certificate, and only those types of certificates will be valid as far as the imports are concerned. Next is waste oil and sludge. Now, this waste oil is coming out of the ships. Mainly it is ships. Sludge and waste oil is coming out of the ships. And all foreign-going ships and local ships, they throw a lot of this waste oil and sludge into the sea. But nowadays they are not allowed to throw it to prevent the hazards of the sea. And therefore, they sell it as waste oil and sludge. So import-export does take place. Here, clearance will be allowed only to persons registered with the Ministry of Environment and Forest or the Pollution Control Board for reprocessing the waste. It has got to be declared that this waste is coming over here not to be disposed of in any other form, but to be reprocessed and used again. And only on this particular condition, the clearance is allowed. Application has got to be made to the Pollution Control Board or the Ministry of Environment and Forest. And based on that, undertaking has got to be given, and then it is allowed. Next, we have got hazardous chemicals. Most of the chemicals are at one stage or the other termed to be hazards to the human being, but again, they are also beneficial to the human being. That is why they are being used in such a large scale. But we are talking about only the hazardous chemical. Here, import is permitted under the provisions of manufacture, storage, and import of hazardous chemical rules. There are separate rules for different kind of chemicals. We have got many chemicals, and different chemicals have got different rules as far as importing and storing is concerned. Next is the ozone depleting substances, ODS. Now, what is ozone? I don't know whether you are aware of what ozone is. Ozone is a different form of oxygen. As far as molecule of oxygen is concerned, oxygen is O2, whereas ozone is O3. But it is a part of the layer in the atmosphere, which is quite at a high level of the Earth. And that layer protects the oxygen and other air of the Earth for going out of the atmosphere. So it acts as a protective layer for the air, for the oxygen that you and me, we breathe every day. Otherwise, this air would have vanished totally. That is the work of the ozone layer. But there are certain substances which catch and deplete the ozone layer when it goes higher up in the atmosphere. And import of products and equipments. You know, some of the equipments could be the number of space rockets which are going into the space by different countries. And that is why import of products and equipments is subject to license issued by DGFT under the ozone depleting substances rules. These are specific rules which are required to be followed if handling these kinds of substances. Next, we have got to look at the genetically modified organisms. Now, what is the meaning of genetically modified items? This relates to the genes which are prevalent in your body, not only in your body, in every item. You know, you must have been reading in the papers that in case of identification of certain people, a DNA test is conducted to verify one human with the other human. Now, that DNA is a part of the genes present in your body, present in all living organisms. And today, the science is moving so fast that the genetic modification is going on. It has happened in animals, it has happened in plants. Even it is happening as far as your human beings are concerned. Yes, there is a positive indication. And the positive indication for genes is that if you have a particular disease which is passed on from generation to generation by the human beings, generation onwards, then today genetic modification is going on. That this particular gene of this particular disease, which is prevalent and coming down from the ancestors, at one particular point, that has got to be removed from the gene so that subsequent offsprings do not have that kind of a disease. But as far as plants are concerned, living beings are concerned, they are also trying to modify the genes to increase the production level. You must have heard of GM brinjal, GM cotton. Cotton genes have been modified to increase the production per acreage production of cotton. Brinjal genes have been modified to increase the production of brinjals. Why? Because brinjals are vegetables which are very common with the poor people. And to increase the production capacity on per acreage basis, the genes are modified. Other living organisms also, there is modification of the genes. Here, import of any GM material, genetically modified material, is allowed, which is carrying a declaration. It has got to carry a declaration stating that the product is genetically modified and to be used for industrial production, environment release, or field application will be allowed only with the approval of the Genetic Engineering Approval Committee. That is why all genetically modified, you know, brinjal, you get normal brinjal in the as a part of your vegetable. But if genetically modified brinjal is being sold in the market, it has got to be declared as GM brinjal. Cotton also, normal cotton is sold as only cotton. But if it is a genetically modified cotton, it has got to be declared as GM cotton. That such type of approval is by the Genetic Engineering Approval Committee. Next, we have the textile and textile articles. Import of textile and textile articles is permitted subject to the condition that they do not contain any hazardous dyes whose handling, production, carriage, or use is prohibited. As you know, that all textile material are dyed, colored, washed in different types of liquids and chemicals. Now, some of these dyes and chemicals may be hazardous, and that is not allowed. I don't know, most of you, you must have observed that when you are playing with holy colors at the time of holy, at that time sometimes you must have observed that when some color is thrown on you or you have used some color to throw on somebody else, there is an itching in your body or in the parts which has touched that color. That is a hazardous dye. That is a hazardous color. And all textile articles which will have to carry a declaration that there is no hazardous dyes used as far as that textile is concerned. Otherwise, when you start wearing the clothes, you start getting itching all over your body, or maybe there's some different kind of reaction coming to your body. Next, we have got to look at the next most important act, that is the Food Safety and Standards Act of 2006. This act provides for a systematic and scientific development of the food processing industries. Under this act, the Food Safety and Standards Authority of India has been established to lay down certain standards and regulate or monitor the manufacturing, import, processing, distribution, and sale of any food item. All food items are covered under this act. Anybody handling any food item is covered under this act. Even if you go to your local hand cart, pani puri wala, or that local chai wala, where you roadside chai wala, you go and have a cup of tea if at all sometimes you feel like going, they are also covered under this act. They are required to be registered. Why? Because all food business operators are required to be registered or licensed by FASAI, Food Safety and Standards Authority of India. All means all. Either a registration or a license is required depending on certain conditions. And here, all import consignments of high-risk food items, perishables like fruits, vegetables, meat, fish, cheese, etc. These are perishable food items. They have got to be referred to authorized representatives of FASAI or port health officers for testing, and clearance shall be allowed only after receipt of the test report. And that testing is done as per the International Standards for Phytosanitary Measures, that is ISPM. ISPM is a standard created not only in India, it is applicable all over the world. It is an international standards. And all food items have got to be as per those standards. The testing, inspection, checking is being done by FASAI. Here, food importers shall ensure that food is transported and stored in optimal storage conditions of temperature and hygiene. Packaged and labeled as per the regulations which are applicable to that particular food. Each particular food item, there is a regulation as far as storage is concerned, as far as packing is concerned, as far as labeling is concerned. Every consignment of imported food shall be packed in hygienic containers in such a manner that it would facilitate the inspection and collection of samples from the consignment. When import consignments are coming, there has got to be a facilitation for taking samples for testing purposes. And that is why packing has got to be in such a condition that samples can be easily removed from any lot, any package. Thank you.